everybody. It's the Title IX podcast on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network. I'm Steph Copley with Elisa Woods. Hey, Elisa.
What up?
How are you?
I'm fab.
I'm fab, too. Before we started recording, we got on a little tangent about the show Making It. If you guys haven't watched it, you need to.
You didn't think that we could get excited about just about anything, we can. And we could probably do an entire podcast just on Making
It. I bet we could do more than one, frankly. Maybe we could do that for next season.
Maybe.
If you like Amy Poehler or Nick Offerman, or you like doing anything around the house DIY, you'll like the show.
For sure.
Yeah. Or even if you don't, it's just entertaining enough that I think you'd like it.
It is. It's punny.
It is very punny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good
stuff.
Love
a pun.
Jared's here too, but he doesn't have a microphone, so we're just going to ignore him the same way he ignores us.
Rude. Oh, his computer is pink and I love it.
It's rose gold.
I love it. Rose gold is pink gold.
No, it's not. I love rose gold. Don't talk about
pink. I love rose gold. I love pink. Pink makes everything better.
I like pink too, but rose gold and pink are not the same.
They're pretty damn close.
If you say so. I'll let you have that for now. It's episode 53. It's the last episode before football.
Hey, yo.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Was that your, like,
yeah,
that was your like club entrance?
Yeah.
Do it again.
It's
really good.
Arnold does it really good.
I'm impressed.
Now I have a little tickle in my throat.
You get
that.
A drink while I shout out to the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Tell me when you're done with your drinks, so you can do your hoodie-hoo.
Hoodie-hoo.
Thank you. I bet everybody on campus, including the Ivy students, are pumped for the week one of the football season. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of cardinal and gold on campus. It's the best time of the year. It's
and
the
black.
Most wonderful time of the year. And black. How could I forget my favorite school color? Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
We are, of course, also sponsored by the Mississippi River Distilling Company. And Elisa and I got our hands on some new swag from our friends over at Mississippi River, including some of their salted caramel Irish cream.
So excited.
Holy smokes. And I have to say, I told Elisa, it's almost Irish cream baking season, to which she replied, every day is Irish cream baking season.
All year long.
Okay, so tell us what you did.
So when I was at the fair, somebody else made this dessert that sounded really good, and it had a dulce de leche whiskey frosting on it, and so I just had some extra cake in the freezer, as I do,
as one does, as an at-home baker does.
So I made some of that frosting, just whipped it up
with Cody Road.
Yep. And because I was like, I might be getting a little bit more, might as well use what I got.
That's right.
But I just used the good old-fashioned.
The original, the OG, or did you use the old-fashioned
mix?
Okay, I didn't know if you meant like the original or the actual old-fashioned.
I was going to say the good old-fashioned, and then I was like, no, wait, it was a regular, and then I was like, it was old-fashioned, so yes.
Okay, well, perfect. So I think what Elisa and I are going to do is we're going to try some, we did this last year just for fun. We used the Irish cream in a couple of the baking treats we did. I think we're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And we'll just keep you guys up to date on what we're trying and what works and what doesn't.
And what if we...
In addition to drinking it.
Yeah, what if we make a little glaze for something that we smoke too?
Oh,
wouldn't that be yummy?
That's a great idea.
Just came to me.
Okay.
So let me whip up a little something something.
All right, that sounds good. Yeah, that maybe that can be kind of a thing throughout the season is creative stuff that we do in addition to drinking.
Yeah.
With all of the liqueurs and booze from our friends at Mississippi River. Okay,
maybe
this is fun.
A little mango, a little tahine.
This is great. Okay, this is going to be a good thing, but thanks to our friends over there, we appreciate all of your support. We haven't done this for a while, but we have a super patron of the week, finally.
Who is it?
It's our friend Josh Gerlach.
Josh.
He is a huge supporter of Cyclone Fanatic, and he's also a big supporter of Always Race Day, and our friend Connor Ferguson, who we so lovingly refer to as Scoots.
Scoots.
But Josh was born and raised a Cyclone. His entire family has always loved cheering on the Cyclones for the very bad years and the good years. Here's what he told us about becoming a super patron. He said the entire Cyclone Fanatic team does a great job covering Cyclone athletics, and even through a difficult year last year, I feel like the content has gone to another level. It's been fun making new friends through Cyclone Fanatic and Always Race Day, and I cannot wait to make some more. Go Cyclones. So thank you, Josh. We appreciate you. I met Josh this summer and his wife at Knoxville with Corey when I was there for the truck race, and they are two of the nicest people I've ever met. So that's I'm excited awesome. To meet them at some more tailgates, and I'm excited to meet a lot of people I haven't met in person before.
Every once in a while, speaking of Always Race Day, every once in a while I will get on Twitter and it'll be like, whose Twitter is this? It's just all like racing stuff. And then it's like, oh, must be a race day.
It's always race day. Elisa, do you get it?
Yeah.
Always.
I got. But yeah, so I know everything that's happening.
You're darn right.
Somebody
you
got in a wreck.
That's
there
right.
There was a lot of just
mayhem.
Hot wreckage the other day.
Mm-hmm. Last night, actually.
A lot of it. Then a guy went in a bunch of circles. I guess that's what they do. They just go in a bunch of circles. And at the end, one went around all those circles a little faster than the other ones.
There you go, Elisa. Just summarize racing in about 10
Boom.
Seconds.
Raced.
All right. So tonight, I want to go on a rant.
As I
sometimes do.
Do it.
But I want to get your take on it. We haven't actually talked about this first.
Oh.
Okay, so the Alliance press conference last week.
Okay.
I was just raging pissed. And I was rage texting Jared about it. And I thought it was one of those things where I was really mad about. And I was like, I'm going to think about this for a day or two and see if it cools down. And if it cools down, I'm going to let it go. And I haven't let it go. I'm still really mad.
Yeah.
And here's what it comes down to. You have three very highly paid men with immense power in the world of college athletics, which is a very powerful world. Okay. You have the ACC commissioner, the Big Ten commissioner, and the Pac-12 commissioner. And did you watch or pay attention to any of the press conference?
No.
Okay. So do you know anything that happened?
Nope.
Okay. I know you have taken. You're intentionally taking a back seat to this.
I am.
But basically what happened, and people who are listening probably know about this, they said, you know, there's no signed contract. This is just kind of like a wink and a nod.
Yeah.
We're going to be buddies about this.
Right.
Gentleman's agreement. And my problem with this is the media went nuts. Everybody went nuts. How, as three very intelligent and powerful men, do you go into a press conference with no foresight about how you're going to answer things or what's going to be asked of you or how your answers are going to be perceived?
Yes.
And the reason I'm so bothered by this is because this is a pattern we see in not just college athletics, but for people in power in general. And it's driving me crazy.
It feels as if the PR department is the first to get cut.
It feels they're really bad.
Or they pair it with like whoever cleans the toilets or something.
I mean, seriously.
And I know some smart people who clean some toilets, so that's actually a diss to them.
And it's not, you and I are intelligent women, but
yes.
But we don't work in that industry. I mean, and it's exactly what you said. I feel like we could be more prepared than we've seen.
Yes.
And so, okay, I told you the press conference. I'm just going to read a couple of the quotes to you, and I'm going to tell you how I would have answered it differently, okay? So, the Pac-12 commissioner said, there's no signed document. There's an agreement between three gentlemen. There's no signed contract, and there doesn't need to be. The ACC commissioner said, it's about trust. We've looked each other in the eye and made an agreement. If a signed contract is what it takes to get something considerable done, then we've lost our way. And our friend Kevin Warren over at the Big Ten, buddy Kevin, if you have to go back and look at a contract that you signed, then you probably entered a deal with the wrong parties. Okay, guys, listen, anyone with any experience in any transaction whatsoever knows that a contract is necessary.
Right.
It is a necessary evil, or I mean,
I would
just
like to know how they sold their house
or how they bought their car.
Yeah.
Or how you make any transaction at a store.
Right. Or how they agreed to have insurance
or how they signed their own employment agreement
or how they got married.
It's wild.
Crazy.
Like, wild. And this is my problem. It sounds disingenuous and it's stupid and it's insulting. Because everybody up there is like, guys, come on. We're not dumb. Don't treat us
right.
that way.
But can we seriously, though, you just said something. Can we pull up all of the press releases about when they signed their contracts to get paid?
Yeah. Or when they became the commissioners of their conference.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I'm sure that they signed a contract.
And they're matters of public record. We can
right.
get them. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. No, I know. So here. Okay. So here's.
Just trust me. I'll pay you $1 million. Wink.
Okay. So
wink.
This is how I would have answered this. Okay. Because you. Okay. First of all, prepare. You know, someone's going to say, did you guys sign a contract and what did it say?
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not prepared for that, you suck at your job.
Right.
B, know how to answer that. And here's what I would have said. I thought about this for like 5 seconds. Okay. Okay, you say something along the lines of, the landscape in college athletics changed unexpectedly and rapidly in the last couple of weeks. We're doing our best to respond quickly, but in a way that's best for our institutions, and in a way that allows us flexibility to adapt to more unexpected circumstances. Like the changes we've seen, this alliance is also in its infancy, so although there's no signed document or contract today, that's an intentional decision. We expect in the days, weeks, and months to come to formalize this partnership, so when the time is right and it becomes necessary, we'll address a contract. But for now, for the good of both the sport and our institutions, we felt it was necessary to publicly announce our alliance.
Right.
Done.
Right.
Like, that's all you have to do. And this is not hard.
And in that, you never said, I'm a man. Well, and I look this other man
in the eyes.
And this
is a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah. And then I, never mind.
It just, like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I just can't, I'm,
yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's a very similar circumstance to the women's NCAA basketball tournament. When we said, where was the person in the room that said, guys, is this a good idea? Are
right.
we sure we want to go forward? Where is that person? Have we lost that person in every circumstance?
Yes, we have.
Can I volunteer to be that person? Because I think I would be really good at it.
No, they can't afford to have that person because the salary of these three men have cannibalized that position because they think they can do it better.
And it's like these people are surrounded by ASS kissers.
Yes, men.
Yes, men.
Yeah.
And it is an epidemic right now.
Yeah.
And I am so sick of it.
Yes.
I'm just done with it.
I am a no man to a fault. I will tell you no, even if I think what you're doing is a good idea.
Do you really? I don't think you are. I think you're a no man to in a good way.
I am a pessimist.
That's fine, but don't you think those people are necessary?
Yeah.
I like you need that person
yes.
in the room to cast out.
You need someone who has the ovaries to tell you.
I like what you did there.
Hey, this may crash and burn. Go ahead, but here are potential issues. And my anxiety allows me to tell you those things.
And you need a person in that room who, even if you don't believe the bad things are going to happen, to be able to point out the potential
right.
bad things.
Right.
It's like in my world, it's like preparing for a deposition. Or, you know, in someone else's world, it's like preparing for a debate or
yeah.
any, it's just, or a presentation of any kind where you're taking feedback.
Yeah.
You have to, I just, where has the step gone where you visualize what's going to be the
yeah.
give and take back? It's,
yeah.
it's just mind-boggling
there,
to me.
There are those people who call the insurance company and just wing it, and then there are the people who call the insurance company with all of the information in front of them, prepared, and they know the first three sentences that they're going to say and possibly have them typed out on their computer to read.
I mean, it's truly making your case.
Yeah.
And not in a legal way. It's
right.
making your case.
Right.
And knowing how to do that.
Right.
And I just feel like if you are in a position of power, whether it's, you know, a conference or a university or even something smaller, a football team, or you
right.
need to be able to answer those, be in those positions and answer
right.
the questions.
It's honestly, it's just being prepared.
Yes.
And that's not a bad thing to be prepared.
No, it's
a Boy Scout thing.
To me, it's a requirement of those jobs.
Yeah.
And we keep seeing these people, and I say guys because frankly it tends to be guys.
Well, they said it themselves, it was a
gentleman's agreement. That was so cringy, and I hope, well, let's just boycott that phrase. Let's cancel culture that phrase. Okay,
I'm here for it. I'm sure somebody just turned this off.
Fine. We're not going to miss you anyway.
Well, I have a gentleman's agreement with that person.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Anyway, that was my rant about that. Do you have anything to add to that?
No.
Okay.
I added my two cents.
I have one more rant and
lay it on me.
It's just about the narrative of the national media. And I know Chris and Brent cover this a lot in their podcast. I think they did the pod with Stuart Mandel and I think we're all feeling it. I think we're all feeling salty for various reasons
yeah.
as Iowa State fans and as Big 12 fans. But this really got me fired up over the weekend when we saw UCLA's crowd with all 267 people. And Stuart Mandel tweeted something to the effect of, oh, it's hot. There's beaches nearby and we're still in the middle
yeah.
of a pandemic. And okay, fine. But why does the Pac-12 get held to a different standard than those left in the Angry Eight?
Yeah.
If you're going to give them the benefit of the doubt and make excuses for them, you have to give them to the Big 12. You can't pick and cherry pick what to feed your narrative. And right. I'm just sick of that happening. It keeps happening over and over again. And you know what? It's always happened. I think I'm just ultra sensitive to it now because of the conference realignment situation. And then I was thinking, you know, what makes me so frustrated right now is that it's the national media who gets to decide which brands are valuable. Mm-hmm. So it's this chicken or the egg thing, because if you're going to constantly say out loud that the Nebraskas of the world or the UCLAs of the world or whoever of the world is valuable, well, you're making them valuable with their words, right. not necessarily with their product.
Right.
So as long as you continue to devalue Iowa State by casting doubt on them or calling them the little brother or saying, you know, that this is a flash in the pan moment.
They said on College Game Day, one of the guys was like, beat Iowa, then we can talk. Oh, can we? Will you talk?
But will you? And I guess that's what I'm saying. Like,
we,
then
guess what? If we beat Iowa, I don't want to talk to you. I don't want you to come to Ames. I'm just going to say
that's something else I
want
right
to
talk
now.
Okay, let's just talk about it now.
Lay it on me.
Do you want them to come?
Hell no.
I don't either.
Hell no.
It's amazing how much our perspective has changed.
It was a cluster bleep.
But that's not okay.
And it was not fun.
Tell me why you don't want them to, and then I will.
Because. No, okay, it took so long to get into Ames.
So yours was more of a logistical.
Mine was totally logistical.
Yeah.
No one knew what was going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if none of the police departments talked to each other or prepared. It was like one person was saying, you have to go this direction, we go that direction.
I remember
then,
this now
and
for
it,
you.
And then somebody stops you and says, nope, should have gone the other direction. Sorry, not my fault. Somebody says, this lot's closed. And then somebody starts taking $20 to let people into that lot. And it was just a cluster.
Yeah.
Because there were so many people coming down. And then the only person that you can get to come on to talk is a country western singer who's not even from here?
Yeah, that part was weird.
I'm sorry, what?
I do love Eric Church, but not to be their picker.
I don't.
And that's perfectly fine.
And I didn't want him up there.
Yeah, no, I know. And all those are valid reasons.
Honestly, I would rather you have no one than some random country western singer that has nothing to do with Iowa besides the fact that part of Iowa
listens to country,
right?
You listen to country music, right?
Right.
Mine is just a complete, like, I want to stick it to the man. Like, you've done this to us, and now I don't want you coming here and using our success and our fans for your benefit. That is mine. And I know long term it's better for Iowa State to have ESPN there and to get the eyeballs on it, and I understand all that. I'm just being petty, and I'm gonna sit in this pettiness.
Right.
I'm going to love it.
Well, and I know that what I'm saying totally goes against what you said, is that the media doesn't care about us, and then we're saying, well, don't come here then.
No, but you're right. But that's not even fair.
Right.
Because they're, at that point, ESPN is capitalizing on a moment.
Right.
And a rivalry. Where when I'm talking about ESPN doesn't care about Iowa State, I'm talking about a longer narrative. You have people like Reese Davis who act like we're some, like,
he's the worst.
But it keeps happening. And and what makes me so frustrated about that is they get to control it. And so it's just, now this will, if Iowa State truly has this magical season that we are set up to have, then at some point you've got to start acknowledging some things.
Yeah.
But it will probably be because they have to and not because they want to.
Right.
And it'll always have, it feels to me right now that it'll always have this, like, backhanded air of skepticism.
Right.
And I'm just so sick of that.
Well, and we hold our local media to higher expectations than that. They're not even allowed to have a fan. They're not allowed to be fans of Iowa or Iowa State. Or they're going to get emails like, oh, you're a homer for Iowa State. Oh, you're a homer for Iowa. Like, the amount of times Keith Murphy gets messages saying, like, oh, you're an Iowa fan. Oh, you're an Iowa State fan. Jenny's an Iowa State fan. Keith is legitimately neither. Like, just wants both of them
to be successful.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And why can't the national media just do that? Like, why are they holding the hand of the SEC? Why are they holding the hand
dollar bills, y'all?
But why are they holding the hand of Nebraska?
Well, okay, and this is my other, that's perfect segue, because I'm very frustrated by, and Jared, I'm not dogging on Nebraska for the sake of dogging on Nebraska. It's just a good example. So Nebraska was wildly successful decades ago, okay? And we keep using that success as this foundation for the brand, okay?
Right.
So, fine. And then in comparison, Iowa State has not been successful, historically successful in decades past. So we keep using that to devalue Iowa State.
Yes.
But when is present day going to matter? And here's why this bothers me. We are entering into an era of media that's not 20 years ago.
Right.
Like, things aren't going to look the same. And so the adults in the room probably should start looking forward and considering, and I know Chris talks about this a lot on the radio with streaming services and, you know, how TV is going to look very different in the next round of media rights. And I'm not an expert in that. I don't claim to be.
Yeah.
But at least I understand that the world, the technology as it exists and the way things are going is not going to be what it was decades ago. So, like, at some point, we need to have a cutoff and say the brand that existed when when I wasn't even live shouldn't matter as much anymore.
Right.
And I keep getting frustrated, and I'm wondering when the tide's going to turn towards that.
It's true. And I feel like, I don't know if it is, you know, we always have this romanticism for the teams that were, I think I just saw a rat. The teams that were, it was a rat or a bunny or something disgusting.
Reese Davis.
We have this romanticism for, it's either, you know, the teams that were really good in our childhood, mm-hmm. or the teams that were really good in, like, our favorite time of our lives,
right.
You know,
natural. I get it.
Be it growing up, be it high school, be it college, usually like in our formative years, we have this romanticism for the teams that were good. The 90s Bulls. I mean, the Yankees, the Cowboys, like these are teams that were good when we were young, and they still hold this value, and it's almost like they hold this like vintage value, yeah. for us. It's the old Coke can or something.
Right.
It reminds us of happier times.
Simpler times.
Right. And so I wonder if in 20 years that will pass, or if we're just going to, our generation is going to adopt that romanticism, and our children's generation is going to adopt the romanticism that we had, and it's just going to stay the
same. Like
this
awful cycle.
Yeah.
I hope not. And that, because that's what, it's not fair.
Right.
It's not fair because you're valuing something in the present day based on something that doesn't exist anymore.
Right. Well, and we have to think about, like, our teams change. I think,
yes.
about like Chris Williams, you know, his team was Iowa. And
I grew up too.
Yeah,
right.
And it changed to be Iowa State. And I think that in a broader sense, that's going to start to happen. Like growing up, my team was the Dallas Cowboys. And then it changed. I moved to New Orleans and it became the Saints, like wearing a Saints hat that Steph got me right now.
Looks real good,
Thank
sister.
You. I love it. just thinking of my peeps in New Orleans. And I do not think that they got it as bad as it could have been.
It sounds like it, which, thank God.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is good. But anyways, like we adapt and change and evolve. And I am hoping that the media adapts and change and evolves. But right now I'm just like screaming into the abyss. Like,
I know.
Stop wearing NBA jerseys without a shirt underneath to NBA games. Like that's...
It's really frustrating. And it's one of those things where I am some low life Iowa State fan. My complaints aren't going to matter,
yeah.
but it is I also feel like I'm screaming into the void right
yeah.
now. And I think we all feel that. And I don't think we're going to create a collective voice that's loud enough because their minds are set. I hope that this the success speaks for itself, and B, some people who are maybe a little bit removed from college football and college athletics, maybe some people in business and media outside, or they say, hey,
yeah.
like, let's look at this a different way because the way we're going is different.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
agreed.
I just feel very salty right now, and it's going to make for an interesting few weeks.
The chip on the shoulder, though, that's our thing, isn't it?
It is. That's the Iowa State way.
That is the Iowa State way, and then getting kicked in the ovaries.
Not this year,
I'm
baby.
Scared.
I know you are.
Do you want to talk about how scared I am
yes,
right now?
Okay, so let's take a break and then let's talk about how scared you are, and then it'll be our psychology discussion.
Great.
It's like a mental health psychology second half of the episode.
Yes.
Okay. We are, of course, brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. Okay, Elisa, so you're scared.
I'm scared.
You're not scared of you and I.
Here's the thing. As someone who wants to be a respected journalist.
You can't even call yourself the right
name. In the sports community, I'm going to say I do not know how ISU loses this game.
Yeah.
However.
In your heart and soul, you're terrified.
However, as someone who doesn't want to step on a crack and break my mama's back, I'm terrified.
Yeah, I get it.
I'm scared.
Listen, I think we're all in the same boat. We've seen enough things to make us, if you're not scared, you're too young.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You're okay. A child.
And I'm going to tell you what has happened. Just in the last 24 hours, finally today, I said, you know what? It's game week. And I said it. And I said it out loud.
To yourself?
To myself.
Okay.
Because I talk to no one.
Yeah.
I said it to myself. And I was like, it's game day. It's game week. This is going to happen. We're going to play you and I, whether I'm scared or not.
Also true. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so I said, how do you prepare, Elisa? So.
Because Elisa speaks to herself in third person when she's talking to herself.
So I said, let's go listen to football and random things. Jeff Woody made me feel okay.
Wow.
I know. I'm stressed right now.
Could Woody be your new therapist?
Maybe.
Okay.
And here's why, is that he just broke it down in a way that I felt like I trusted him.
Yeah.
And I feel like he broke it down in just such a small way that he was just being so very specific with things that I was like, I trust him. And I don't know if I should trust him. But he made me feel better.
I find Jeff Woody to be a very trustworthy man. So
and
there you go.
And he did say he did not want to be Homer, but I don't know. Does he want to be is he a Homer at heart?
Well, maybe at heart, but I mean, aren't we all a little bit?
Right. I don't think he is. And I think he was telling the truth. And I listened to the episode today, almost all the way through. Because I don't have a very good
attention span. No, not you.
What, squirrel? Rat. Right. And I just feel better.
Okay, good.
I feel more confident. I do not feel as if I would like to put money down on this game. But just the way that he explained it. And then also, it reminded me that you and I has had like 3 months off.
That's right.
Like, that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's not even really enough time to, like, heal a high ankle sprain. You know what I mean? And I just feel like these guys, we're going to see this season what this shortened season is all about. You know, what the shortened off season is all about and what the toll it's going to take on their bodies, which I'm not excited for. I'm not excited that you and I is going to come in limping, possibly, because they didn't have enough time. Like, these are men. Like, these are human beings. Mm-hmm. I want them to be able to recover, but that was the decision that their league made to, you know, play a spring season. So it's tough. So they're coming into it having not been able to recover. And then also, I think that Jared brought this up, is that they're bringing back almost everybody, which may or may not be a good thing.
Yeah.
And it tells you that these guys believe in their system, and it tells you that they believe in their chances of winning. But if they weren't all that great last year.
Right.
They probably.
It's not like you had a wild turnaround time.
And they did not. They had time to possibly recover from the season before. They didn't have the time to, you know, build those calf muscles that Purdy has that we may or may not have noticed.
Maybe, definitely, maybe not.
But you know what I mean? Like you said, like you love what the strength and conditioning coach is doing.
I meant that, like, I was making a joke about his ridiculous size, but also, did you see the picture of Brees today?
Yeah.
His freaking biceps?
Yeah.
They're the size of my thighs.
Right. And like,
which my thighs are very muscular.
Charlie Kohler has put on like 10 or 12 pounds.
It's wild.
Said. Like, 10 or 12 pounds of muscle on like a tall guy, that's a decent amount.
Yeah,
and that's going to change the game for him. And I think that you and I just didn't have that opportunity.
Yeah,
I think that they have the opportunity to start at where they started last season, which sucks. Like, that's hard. They're older. They know the system better. They can reflect on how they played better last year. But I don't know. Just listening to Jeff and listening to our BFF Jared, they made me feel better.
They deserve raises.
They do.
They totally do. So, okay, this is speaking of making you feel better, you sent me a text a couple of weeks ago about the psychology of what it's like to bring a lot of players back. And I know you and I could arguably benefit from the same thing.
Yeah.
But we were talking about how much of a benefit it could be for Iowa State. Was it who did you hear this? Was it Cowherd?
So Cowherd was talking about it as it pertained to the NFL.
Right.
And to the preseason games. And he was kind of talking about like Justin Fields when he first got to Chicago. It's like he didn't know where to park. He didn't know where to poop.
Everything is brand spanking new.
Right. And a lot of those guys, they don't even have to think about how to get there. They just drive there. But he had to take up room. He had to take up space
Headspace.
In his mind and in his thoughts. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they can drive there and be thinking about the plays. He has to drive there and be thinking about turn left, turn right. And he doesn't have that available space that they have. Because everything is just automatic. Everything is just happening. It's a, I don't know what the word is. It just happens.
It's your routine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he was talking about, you know, a lot of these rookies, you're going to see them come into their own.
Later,
you know,
in the season.
And he said, you know, 2 weeks in, Justin Fields started to really click and it started to happen. And I think that that's the case with Iowa State, with bringing back a bunch of guys, a bunch of the key guys, is that things just are going to click for them. They know where to go. They know how to do things. A game morning is not going to be different.
The only thing that's new, and I'm using air quotes this year, is the crowd, because that was gone from, I mean, because of the pandemic.
Right.
But that's a positive new, and that's not anything necessarily that they need to think about. It's just different.
Right.
The game day experience.
Yeah. And everyone's going to be dealing
exactly.
with that, whether
yep.
you're a
yeah,
rookie
right.
or
that's,
not.
Yeah. That's not unique to
yeah.
the older guys. Right.
Yeah. But, and I think that, I just think that there's some time that takes to buy into like Matt Campbell and to buy into
culture, the process, all of
the
key words,
process, all of those things. You know, it takes some time to start to understand what it's like to be a member of that community. And I think that a lot of them already have that and already know that. And so
they bought in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they don't need to spend time figuring out where to poop, where to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, like, truly.
Where to put their pads after the game. Like, you know what I mean? They're not thinking
it's
about
the trivial things like that. And then it's the deeper stuff, like what does it mean to be a part of this team?
Yeah.
And I think we saw a giant shift in that last year, and especially at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So I think you're right, and I think I'm hopeful, and Jared mentioned this in his musings today, which I thought were awesome. You should read them if you haven't, but that maybe that will be the cure to the slow start to the season
yes.
that we've seen. That maybe this is kind of the turning point where he's got a bunch of veterans who are bought in, and then the young guys, that because there are a lot of young guys on the depth chart, you know,
yeah.
like they have the benefit of seeing these guys who are fully bought in, and it's just hopefully the cycle is of buying it is much faster
yeah.
now. So I thought that was an amazing point that you
yeah.
brought up, and it was worth sharing.
And we're watching a coach who's a brilliant coach, but he's also a young coach, and he's manifesting his processes, and he's figuring out some things on his own, and we could see the shortcomings at the beginning of the season, the last couple
right.
seasons, and I'm hopeful because I've watched him grow in the last couple of years. I'm hopeful that that is an area where he is focusing. And we talked about that it's a mental thing.
Yes.
And a lot of the older coaches maybe aren't as focused on the mental aspects.
And I think there's a lot of coaches, particularly in college football, who are stuck in their ways and set in their ways, and it's my way or the highway. And I know Coach Campbell is stubborn in a lot of things, but I also know, I mean, I don't know him personally, but from talking to people who do know him personally and from seeing what his teams are doing, that he is constantly reading and learning how the brain works and how the mental processes work. So I'm sure he's implementing all of those things and evolving as he evolves too. So I don't know. I feel like we're really lucky in that way to have a young coach who's open-minded and willing to kind of, I don't know, if something's not working, change it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, sports psychology is not a new thing.
No.
I took a sports psychology class how many years ago when I was at Iowa State? Like, it's been a thing for a while. We had a textbook with historical information in it about sports
psychology. This is psychology. Not a new gig.
Right. It's not a new thing, but it depends. I think that the coaches who buy into it can really have a leg up, especially in these times.
Yeah.
I say with air quotes, but it's unprecedented times. We all say we're prepared. I'm ready for precedented times.
Same. Gosh.
During these unprecedented times, I think that the coaches who are focused on not only physical but also mental health are going to have a leg up.
I totally agree with you. And I think that's becoming more important by the day.
I do too.
Do you want to talk about tailgating to round out the pod?
Surely.
Are you bringing anything specific on Saturday? Do you know?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't plan these things this far ahead.
Well, I did because I was, you know, preparing for this podcast, Elisa. No, I just was thinking. So it's a 3:30 kick.
Yes.
It's going to be hopefully a nice day. I mean, we might get a little rain, but like it's not going to be 700 degrees, which is perfect.
Okay.
But I was thinking you need like sustenance, as you said before we started recording. You need bread. You need things to like keep you going.
I feel like cheese is a go-to.
Yeah, so perfect that you say that. I think I'm going to bake like a jalapeno cheddar beer bread.
All that sounds like good things.
Right? Yeah, because you have the cheese, the bread, just to soak up all that alcohol.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I prefer, I don't like coming to a tailgate empty-handed. That's kind of my rule. So I think that's what I'm going to do.
I always come with sweets. Cookies are easy for me to make.
Yeah, totally easy.
So I always come with just like a bag
easy to
full
eat
of
too.
Cookies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will tell you one thing that does not fare quite as well at a tailgate that you may think would is Scotcheroos.
Because they melt.
They melt.
Yep, been there, done that.
They also get very sticky.
Same with marshmallow or Rice Krispie treats.
Yep.
They melt too.
I've also
been there and done that.
Yeah.
But see, listen to us. We'll teach you all the ways. Okay, I am going to try something new because I have 17,000 seltzers from just like, you know, like you have one can left over here and one can left over there.
And you want to try one of
and some of them are gross and whatever.
Yeah.
So I was thinking last night because I think could be pretty easy to make like a cocktail with the seltzer.
Yeah.
So I just Googled. There are so many ideas. This one might be kind of tricky for depending on your tailgate setup, but there's seltzer slushies.
Ooh.
Which is it's literally the seltzer and then ice and fruit. And how good would that be? Especially on a warm day.
Yeah.
You'd have to make it a little bit ahead. But it'd be easy.
Yeah. You know what I keep thinking about is that my roommate used to make, you know, I don't even know if they still make these. It's like gummy bears, but they're like lifesaver gummies.
Yes, they make them.
Do they still make
those?
Yes,
they do.
Okay.
And they make them on all, they have different flavors.
So every Friday night, I would come home from God knows where, Carl's Place. I don't know. Truthfully, I have no idea. The Exchange. God, is the Exchange still even there?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways. I would come home from there. I would open up the fridge and I would say a little prayer and there it would be. Soaked in vodka.
You're gonna say that.
Those little gummies.
Bring it back.
I gotta bring it back.
That's your go-to for this weekend.
My roommate used to make that, and then she made like this the best Chex Mix that was just like
that's a good tailgate
snack.
It was like
two sticks of butter, and it was so good. But she made it so well. Tracy, if you're listening,
we love your
I love you. I miss you. That's I'm sorry I ate half of your gum.
Well, she put them in the fridge. That was her risk.
And that was honestly a good breakfast.
Oh, that just sounds terrible. I think it's going to be fun. It's going to be, I'm hoping for a sunny day, at least a nice day, if nothing else. But if you see us around, please say hi.
Yes.
I seriously am so excited to see people and hug people. And if you don't want to hug, like, say something before I get within 5 feet of you, because I'm just going to run at you and hug you. There's your warning, everybody.
I don't need a hug.
I'll hug you on behalf of every
high
stranger.
High fives? Yes. Coors Light? Hell yes. Sorry, I should say Busch Light, right? No, please. I don't want a camel can. I want a Coors Light. I want a
Do you want to disclose where you're going to be?
I have no idea. Okay.
All right.
Girl, I don't know. I don't know.
This is the difference between the two of us and the fact that I, like, 2 years later, pretend like I don't know this.
I will say I have heard that they are taking pre-orders for parking.
Mm-hmm. So maybe this could solve all of your...
It could.
2 year ago problem.
It could. Or what could happen is that we could show up with our little ticket printed off and the lot would be full.
Listen,
and
I don't.
They would tell us, oh, sorry.
You take your pessimism out the door right now, because
this isn't pessimism. This is a learned behavior.
I'm just saying, I want some positivity as we end the podcast going into week one.
Here's
Can you
my,
just do that for me?
Yeah. Here's my positivity. I'll have a shot for you if you'll have a shot for me this game.
Can we do it together?
Sure.
Okay. You find me or I'll find you.
Listen,
wherever you may be.
What time are you getting there?
I don't know, because it's so far ahead of time. Okay. I haven't prepared.
Well, if it's after 11.
It's not after 11. Okay. Give me a break. All right. It's going to be fun. Say hi to us if you see us. We love you all. We're so excited. Thank you for riding along with us all of these weeks. We appreciate everybody so much.
Game week.
It's game week. Whoop, whoop.
Hey,
go Cyclones.
Go State.